He slipped into a seat at the rear of the room and let the morning's announcements wash over him. The terror ran endlessly on in his mind, making him feel like a rat trapped on an exercise wheel. And when he tried to look ahead to some better, brighter time, he could see only darkness. The ship was his sanity, and it was sinking. Mr. Harley, the headmaster, approached the podium and imparted a brief exordium about the importance of finals week and how the grades they received would constitute another step upon the great road of life. He told them that the school was depending on them, he was depending on them, and their parents were depending on them. He did not tell them that the entire free world was depending on them, but he strongly implied that this might be so. He finished by telling them that bells would be suspended during finals week, the first and only piece of good news Jake had received that morning. Miss Franks, who had assumed her seat at the piano, struck an invocatory chord. The student body, 70 boys and 50 girls, each turned out in a neat and sober way that bespoke their parents' taste and financial stability, rose as one and began to sing the school song. Jake mouthed the words and thought about the place where he had awakened after dying. At first he had believed himself to be in hell, and when the man in the black hooded robe came along, he had been sure of it. Then, of course, the other man had come along, a man Jake had almost come to love. But he let me fall. He killed me. He could feel prickly sweat breaking out on the back of his neck and between his shoulder blades. So we hail the halls of Piper, hold its banner high. Hail to thee, our alma mater, Piper, do or die. God, what a shitty song, Jake thought. And it suddenly occurred to him that his father would love it. 2. Period 1 was English comp, the only class where there was no final. Their assignment had been to write a final essay at home. This was to be a typed document between 1,500 and 4,000 words long. The subject Ms. Avery had assigned was My Understanding of Truth. The final essay would count as 25% of their final grade for the semester. Jake came in and took his seat in the third row. There were only 11 pupils in all. Jake remembered orientation day last September when Mr. Harley had told them that Piper had the highest teacher-to-student ratio of any fine private middle school in the East. He had popped his fist repeatedly on the lectern at the front of the common room to emphasize this point. Jake hadn't been terribly impressed, but he had passed the information along to his father. He thought his father would be impressed, and he had not been wrong. He unzipped his book bag and carefully removed the blue folder which contained his final essay. He laid it on his desk, meaning to give it a final look over, when his eye was caught by the door at the left side of the room. It led, he knew, to the cloakroom, and it was closed today because it was 70 degrees in New York and no one had a coat which needed storage. Nothing back there except a lot of brass coat hooks and a line on the wall and a long rubber mat on the floor for boots. A few boxes of school supplies, chalk, blue books, and such, were stored in the far corner. No big deal. All the same, Jake rose from his seat, leaving the folder unopened on the desk, and walked across to the door. He could hear his classmates murmuring quietly together and the riffle of pages as they checked their own final essays for that crucial misplaced modifier or fuzzy phrase. But these sounds seemed far away. It was the door which held his attention. In the last 10 days or so, as the voices in his head grew louder and louder, Jake had become more and more fascinated with doors, all kinds of doors. He must have opened the one between his bedroom and the upstairs hallway 500 times in just the last week, and the one between his bedroom and the bathroom 1,000. Each time he did it, he felt a tight ball of hope and anticipation in his chest, as if the answer to all of his problems lay somewhere behind this door or that one, and he would surely find it eventually. But each time it was only the hall or the bathroom or the front walk or whatever. Last Thursday, he had come home from school, thrown himself on his bed, and had fallen asleep. Sleep, it seemed, was the only refuge which remained to him. Except when he'd awakened 45 minutes later, he had been standing in the bathroom doorway, peering dazedly in at nothing more exciting than the toilet and the basin. Luckily, no one had seen him. Now, as he approached the cloakroom door, he felt that same dazzling burst of hope, a certainty that the door would not open on a shadowy closet containing only the persistent smells of winter, flannel, rubber, and wet wool, but on some other world where he could be whole again. Hot, dazzling light would fall across the classroom floor in a widening triangle, and he would see birds circling in a faded blue sky the color of his eyes, old jeans. A desert wind would blow his hair back and dry the nervous sweat on his brow. He would step through this door and be healed.